All right, so the passage that we are doing today is 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14. So I'm going to read those. And it says, John says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. As we go into this passage today, we're going to talk about Christian life and spiritual growth, stages of maturity. Here at Grace a lot, we talk about justification, sanctification, and glorification. Just three different stages that are in a Christian's life that we will go through. And today we're going to talk mainly about those first two, the justification and sanctification. But I thought it was interesting that there's three stages there, because there's a lot of places in the Bible where they talk about three stages in a Christian's life. We have 1 Peter 1:7, which talks about the praise, the honor, and the glory in a Christian's life. 1 Corinthians uses faith, hope, and love. The Christian life starts with faith, a faith in God. And then you have hope in God, seeing the life and hope of living the way that he intended you. And then you have love, which as you do the Father's will, your life shows love, and that overthrows through you in your life. So here also, John mentions three stages in a Christian's life. He uses children, fathers, and young men. But here, John is not just talking to men or fathers, but he is talking to the entire church, every believer that is in the church. Starting out in the book of John, he tested Christians, talked about the true Christians that, those who walk in the light, that if you are a Christian, then you love God and you love other people. But here in this passage, he goes in to talk about encouragement and who we are as Christians, not giving a challenge on testing if you are a true believer, then you would do these things. Here he is saying that you are Christians and how he knows that. So when he says little children, he's addressing the church as a whole, the whole bodies of believers. And he says, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. The word little children in the Greek there literally means those who have been birthed or reborn. So the word, and that's who we are as Christians. We are born again and we have been forgiven for his name's sake. We're not forgiven because of something that we do or anything that we do later on or how we act. We are forgiven because we've taken on Jesus' name. So I used to always just say that I was a Christian whenever somebody would ask me what religion I am. But when I moved to Utah and people would ask what religion I was, I would say, I'm a Christian. And their response would be like, really? So am I. So then I'd ask them what church they'd go to, and they would tell me. I'd be like thinking about it and be like, well, I'm a non-denominational Christian. And they'd be confused because they didn't know what that was. So I'd explain it to them. And their response would always be, oh, so you're a born again Christian, which I didn't really like that. Like, I've never heard anybody that doesn't go to our church use that term. But as I thought about it, I think it's important to remember that we are born again. That is what we are. So we didn't just join a group or a club or a certain religion, because being religious doesn't make you a Christian. In the book of John, chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, is where Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, and he's real confused about the idea of being born again. And he tells Jesus that he's surely from the Father, because nobody could do those things that Jesus did unless he came from God. And Jesus' response was, truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel at the things that I say to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus was a religious man, but Jesus still had to tell him that you needed to be born again. There's a change that needed to happen. And people called me born again Christian to separate me from others who called themselves Christians as well. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are born again spiritually and your sins are forgiven. So there's a group of tourists visiting a little village, and they walked past an old man sitting beside a fence. One tourist looked at the old man and asked him, Were any great men born in this village? And the old man replied, Nope, only babies. Every person who is a born-again believer starts out as a baby in Christ. Whether a new convert is 6 or 60, that person is still a new Christian who needs to grow. A baby Christian who has been saved for 40 years is a tragedy. God intends for us to grow and mature so that we can be a positive influence in the lives of others. Until we learn to dig into the meat of the word for ourselves, we will never truly grow. So John uses the term children twice in this passage, but it's not the same Greek word each time. The first time when he said little children meant those who have been reborn. Here when he says, I write to you children because you know the Father, that word means somebody who's under instruction, teaching, or underneath a tutor. So those are the new Christians that he is talking to. Those who have not grown in Christ yet. And I said this is where every Christian starts. When you accept Christ, we all start as babies in Christ. But we need to grow from that point. We should not just accept the forgiveness of our sins and leave it at that. When we are born again, we become alive spiritually and join God's family. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, says that, For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness in our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. So I'm adopted. The parents that I have were not the family I was born to. My dad adopted me. And when he did, I knew that he was my dad, and I knew that I was his son. But the relationship changed, going from a foster parent who just let me stay in their house to being his son, his heir. I took on his name, and I took on a new personal relationship to him. The moment he adopted me, he gave me everything. Everything in the house, everything I needed was all given to me. And that is how it is with God. We are in the hands of a father who knows us and loves us, who has an intense concern for our development, a father who has numbered the very hairs on our head, and a father who is aware of our deepest needs and is absolutely able to provide them. But when my dad adopted me, I had to learn about him. I had to get to know who he was. I had to find the things he liked, the things that made him happy. And as I learned about those things and spent time with him, I tried to do those things. My dad loves football, so I played football. Different things that he liked, I had to do because I wanted to make him happy, wanted to show that, you know, I liked the things that he liked, so I did those things that he liked. And so it is with God. He adopts us, and we are babies and who know our Father, but we must grow and get to know him more fully so we can have a better relationship with him. He says, I write to you, children, because you know the Father. And what a glorious thing that is to see the birth of a new life in Jesus Christ and to watch the joy of a baby with their father. One of my favorite things is to see new Christians and talk to them and hear their questions because they're just so full of joy, so happy, and just love learning all this new stuff that they're finding out as they go into their new life as a Christian. They are so awestruck with the change that they have. But even that joy soon can go away if they remain forever an infant. A major problem I see a lot of the time in Christian circles is that we constantly try to hold on to the joys of that spiritual change that we felt when we first believed. We remember the glory and the moment of when we came to the Father, the warmth of it, and how exciting and new and fresh it felt. How happy we were to have a new family and new friends and a new hope that we found in Christ. But you cannot go backward. You cannot try to stay there, and it is wrong to try to do so. To do some would put you in a case of arrested development, to remain an infant in many, many ways. We need to grow from babies who drink milk to adults who eat solid food. I said that we didn't just join a group or a club. When we are reborn, it is with a new life. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, and we have new gifts and a new relationship. We need to figure out how to use those gifts and how to know this relationship and how to grow it. It is two different things to know of God and to know God. So, that group is the new believers that he is talking about that are new in Christ, and we need to grow from that point to know Christ better. Then he goes in to talk about the fathers. And he says, I write to you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And this group would be the mature believers in the church. It's not talking just to fathers or just to men, but it's talking to every mature believer in the church. The ones who know God, experience the joy of knowing God and serving God. I'm not saying that these believers are fully matured and don't need to grow anymore, or they already know all there is to know about God. The minute we think we know all there is to know about God, we don't truly know God at all. But this group of fathers would be people who have been in the church for a while, have an intimate working knowledge and relationship with God. And John addresses this group twice here in this passage, but doesn't change the wording at all. He says it word for word the same way twice. When someone, after years of walking in the Spirit and testing the faithfulness of God, and has come to know the eternal God, the one who is from the beginning, to really know him, what else can we really say of them? And I believe that is why John wrote it the same way twice, because he got the point across. They know the Father who is from the beginning. This group is the spiritually mature, who have been saved, learned about God, and used the Word, walked by faith, relied on God, and seen his faithfulness, and have truly come to know him. The word used for fathers here has the meaning of either full grown or perfected. And I'm not saying the group is perfect. We know it's impossible for any of us to become perfect here on the earth. Jesus was the only one who did that. But what it means is to look at it in a different way. Like they have the fundamental principles of a spiritual life. So they've become fully equipped and full grown. Think of it as like when children are growing up. They're little kids, they become teenagers, young adults, and when they turn 21, people consider them to be full grown, that they are an adult. But they're not full grown when you're 21. That is when you go and you start to live your life. You start to form who you are. You live and put out everything you have learned to that point, and you start to live out who you are. And I believe that's what is meant here. They've grown from children, from being saved, to young men who have overcome the evil one, into fathers, spiritually mature and equipped. 2 Timothy 3:16. Says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So this means we need to deliberately give ourselves to the study and knowledge of the Word of God. You cannot treat this as something that is nice to know or is something you can get from the pulpit on Sundays. This requires opening the book and digging into it and understanding these vital things. You must be able to explain to another what it means to be just by justification or sanctification or all the other words that we find here in Scripture. What if somebody comes up to you and says, I don't believe in the resurrection of the body. What are you going to tell them? Are you going to answer the way that Paul says, saying, look, if you don't believe that, then this and this and this are not true. You must be ready to throw all those things out if you throw out the resurrection of the body. You see, that is what makes us strong. That is the maturing process which makes these fathers. They have the equipment and the knowledge to live out what is in here, to walk in the light, to live by the Spirit. So the next group that John mentions is the young men. John says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And once again, he uses men, but he is not only talking to men. He is talking to all the maturing believers in the church, those of us who are still in that maturing process that haven't quite figured out everything that we need yet, but have figured out a great deal. In the Christian life, there's a constant battle that we are under. Your flesh wants to destroy you and keep you from God. And Satan will do whatever he can to make sure that you stay away from God. So with that constant battle and the flesh trying to destroy us, how did this group overcome it? John says that the Word of God abides in you. The only way you can overcome sin is through God and His Word. Not trying to do anything or new programs or groups or anything like that will help you with the problems that we face. You need to turn to God and turn to His Word. The Bible says, let me hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. A Christian who is growing and maturing is in the Word, studying the Word, memorizing verses, and growing closer to God. You need to feed your spirit. The Bible is that solid food that will help you grow and make you strong and give you victory over sin. It's an everyday battle, but you can have victory The instrument of growth is the Word of God. It is absolutely impossible to grow up as a Christian and be who God intends you to be unless the Word of God abides in you. And this is why the devil will fight you when you try to study your Bible. You get distracted. You're just sitting there reading and suddenly you're staring at the wall for 20 minutes and have no idea what you just read. Or for me, I read the same page 10 times and still got nothing from it. So the devil's going to fight you when you study your Bible, when you try to build your life on scriptures or on the authority of scripture. There's a constant attack at every turn. Though the devil cannot stop you from being a Christian, once you are saved forever, sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the devil can't stop you from being a Christian, but he can stop you from being an effective, strong Christian. And that's exactly why the attacks come the way they do. The devil will introduce false methods of maturing. He tries to divert your attention and get you off onto spiritual sidetracks. This passage says that the Word of God abides in you. And that means the Bible plus the Holy Spirit. When the scriptures speak of knowing the Word of God, it is not just memorizing Bible verses and knowing where to find things in the Bible, but it is also the Bible plus the Spirit. If the Word is to be understood, it is to be understood in the light of the illuminating, searching power of the Holy Spirit. When I went to Bible college, we studied the Bible every single day, had chapel every day, and then would go back to our dorms and we would have small groups and talk about the Bible, study the Bible for class, memorize verses, did that every day for 2.5 years. And I thought I was spiritually mature. I was like, I had all this knowledge, knew big words, knew all this theology, could sit and talk forever about the hypostatic union or the kenosis theory. Thought that I had arrived, that I was so mature because of everything I knew. But the problem there was the knowledge I got wasn't driven by my faith or my trust in God or my desire to know God. It was driven to get a good grade, to make people proud, and to graduate. So it wasn't driven by the Spirit, and I wasn't getting the knowledge I needed because the Spirit wasn't illuminating that scripture to me. I was just putting it in and then word vomit on the pages next day in class. It always takes these two together to produce maturity, the Word plus the Spirit. It's not a matter of merely taking or teaching the Word into your mind, but it's something deeper. It penetrates to the conscience. It lays hold of the will, and it exposes the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that is what produces maturity. As I talked about the children, the men, and the fathers, you see the picture that John is presenting here. He is telling them that this is who you are, and this is how I know who you are. And you see that he's talking to the church as a whole, entire body of believers. And it's because we have victory over Satan through the Word. It's because our sins have been forgiven. And it is because we know God. We have a new position and family in the Christian life. And John is letting us know who we are and preparing us for what comes next in the book. Because of who and what we are, we must not give in to the world or place anything in our life above God. This journey can be a great one, where you can grow and know the Father. Get past infancy. The relationship cannot be one-sided, and it is never too late to start growing. God says he will draw near to you if you draw near to him. And John here is confident in who we are and wants to give us confidence as we continue to go through the book about the challenges we're going to face. He's telling us here that we are Christians, we know God, and we have overcome evil, so we will be okay as he goes into what he has to say next. As Christians, at all different stages of growth, we have God, we have his word, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have each other to help us in this journey. I heard a movie quote once, and it said, "Life is a journey, not to a destination, but to a transformation." That is what God wants us to do. He wants to transform our lives. If we dig into the Word to grow this relationship and yield to the Holy Spirit, God will change your life if you just let Him. As you study and grow, and your life is transformed, we cannot just accept Christ and remain unchanged as a baby who feeds on milk. Spend time with God and get to know Him. Let Him speak to you. Yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him illuminate the Scriptures to you. Let's become those spiritually mature who know God. Let's help the children grow and help those who are maturing and look to those who have already matured. And together, through God's Word, we can have a victorious, God-honoring life. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will just help us as a body of believers, Lord, to foster this relationship we have with you, Lord, to grow past infants who feed on milk, but to really dig into your word to get the solid food that we need to grow and to change our lives, Lord. Help us yield to your spirit to be changed and to be moved and to not just leave here unchanged, but with you in mind and with a desire to know you better, Lord. So I thank you for this time that we had to gather and just be together, Lord. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.